Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matters more than ever. Place your money line, prop or parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
As humans, we're naturally driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. When I was looking to hire someone, it was so slow and overwhelming. I wish I had used Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform, with over 350 million global monthly visitors according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/podcast. That's Indeed.com/podcast. Terms and conditions apply.
With infinite complacence, people went to and fro over the earth about their little affairs, serene in the assurance of their dominion over this small, spinning fragment of solar driftwood, which by chance or design, man has inherited out of the dark mystery of time and space.
No, it is so good to finally talk to you. Holy cow, this is amazing.
Yeah, it's kind of surreal because I've listened to your show for so long now. I like met Sam through your show and we're actually like friends now. So it's just so weird, but I love it.
Which is ironic because that was something that I was like, how am I going to intro Brett? You're important to me. I think you're really an awesome person and a very talented person. I'm like, I had it jotted down that I think you and Sam are my two favorite artists, hands down. So yeah.
We bring our own sides. He's got the very dark masculine spookiness and mine's like the more feminine weird spookiness. So it's like they complement each other in ways.
They do. They balance out very, very well. And you know, as part of kind of the intro, I also just wanted to make sure that people realize that, I mean, you are, this is where I'm like, okay, I need to make sure I do this right because Brett's a big deal. You create the most incredible original artwork, so much so that, and I don't want to get you fired up before you, or maybe I do before you talk, maybe it'll help get things going, but people steal your artwork all the time. And it's a horrible thing.
Yeah. It's kind of died down for now, but I have a feeling like closer to the holiday season, that's when it always picks back up. So just got to wait and see what happens this year.
Yeah. Which ones are they going to snap up this year? Yeah. Anytime I see that, I try to, we got to do what we can and report it or whatever can be done. Probably not much, but
not much. That's the
yeah,
because, like most of those are overseas and they don't have the same like copyright infringement laws that we do. So really doesn't matter. All I can do is raise awareness. That's about it.
Yeah, that they're big jerks, huge lazy jerks that can't just create their own art. They have to steal yours. So yeah, I just had to get that out there too. So that if you guys see random stuff that looks shockingly like Brett's, it probably is, and they stole it. And
all over Amazon.
It's on Amazon too?
Yeah, there's sellers who just, I don't know how they got my print. I just don't know, because I've never posted it high resolution anywhere. So all I can think is like they're taking screenshots and it's just going to look like trash when these people buy it unknowingly. And right. I don't know. There's so many sellers on Amazon that sell just various things with a couple specific prints that are obviously mine. You can't do anything with Amazon either because they just don't care.
Yeah, and
not fun.
And I want everybody to, because I usually do this at the end, but head to brettisagirl.com. Mm-hmm. That is her website. You can find all of her shop info there. She's also on Instagram. That's my favorite account to follow you is Instagram.
I would not plug my website because I have not updated it since 2015. I know it says like 2016, but that was because we were trying to be like, let's just make it look like it was updated. I don't know, but it was like 6 years ago and okay. It is not.
All right, never mind. Don't go there. Never mind me. Don't listen to Shannon, everyone. No. Okay, so all right, let me start out by asking you then, what's the best place for people to go to find everything?
Probably just my Instagram, which is Brett Manning Art, and there are links to all of my shops there. It's pretty easy. Unless, I guess, you don't have an Instagram, then Google Brett Manning Art and things will pop up.
Yes.
My Etsy will pop up.
Yes. Two T's on that first name and three N's in the last. It's very, very easy to find her. And before we jump into your stories, people need to understand that when Brett Manning tags me in something on her Instagram, I get wicked excited because I know that usually means that she has heard an episode and has created something that's what her brain has seen, and everybody's is a little different. That's how it's supposed to be. And I go there and she has created something straight out of an ITF episode. And you've done, just to name a couple, one of Pam's faves. And you have done Max Hawthorne's fairy, the flying fairy, the story that he told. Don't ask me what number episode that is. I will link it in the show notes. But it is actually now, I gifted that to Max, and it's hanging in his daughter's room, the fairy that they both saw on that, I think it was evening, morning, darn it, don't remember. Sorry, guys. And then it's actually featured in his Monsters and Marine Mysteries book, the one that just came out.
I will have to get that book. That's awesome. I really love the fairy stories that people have, because fairies are one of my obsessions. They're so weird. They're so creepy and wonderful, and I have some weird like connection to them that I don't quite understand. So whenever I hear stories, my ears just like perk up and I am obsessed. So I have to draw them.
What did you think about all of Pam's different encounters? Some of hers were just so horrible and terrifying, and her descriptions of them were the same. I'm going, I want to experience a lot of things, but some of hers were a big no for me.
They are definitely terrifying, and I don't necessarily want to actually see anything like that. Not at nighttime, especially. They ignite my imagination in some kind of way that I am just so intrigued, though. Despite them being like terrifying, I just can't even describe like why I'm so fascinated by it, even though they seem evil. But also, like, I don't like pinning things down as being evil. Whenever I hear people say something, it was like demonic or evil, I'm just like, well, maybe to them, that's just how they are. They're not evil in their own world. So I don't know. You're putting like human emotions on something.
Right.
No, I don't know.
That's a very good point. I mean, the cat is evil to the mouse, but the cat's just doing its cat thing. So.
Right. Very, very much that. So I think that's why I find them so fascinating, because I don't think fairies are good or bad. I think they just are. I think they're just doing what they do, and people just don't understand it. And I think that's what it is with a lot of different cryptids and entities and things.
Well, you sent me kind of a flow chart, which is perfect. That's my favorite thing is not knowing stories and then having an outline for where we're going. And that's what you gave me. We have a little roadmap here. And you kind of said, well, I wonder why I'm so fascinated by fairies. But even just this first story that you're going to tell looks like it may have an interesting tie-in for why. And this right out of the gate, I'm super stoked to hear this one, because you said it was Halloween and you're in your crib and this is like your first birthday, like your first everything right now. Is that where we're going?
One of the absolutely just the most weird memories that I have. And I'm kind of like embarrassed to tell it. I've only told it to one person and she thought I was crazy. So, okay. So I actually have this memory of, sounds so weird. I remember being in the nursery crib in the hospital right after I was born and placed in there. I was born on Halloween. So I remember seeing these decals and knowing that they were Halloween decals of like the Peanuts, like Snoopy in a pumpkin costume. And I can just see it. It was, this crib was this kind of clear yellowish color plastic that they were just laying the babies in. And I was just had this memory deep in the back of my brain. And I remember thinking like, yes, I did it. I'm born on Halloween. That's what I wanted to do. And so that was just a weird memory. And then I just got to thinking about it like over and over a couple years ago and just, is this even real? Is this a dream? What is this? This is so bizarre. So I called my mom, and without telling her about this memory, I was like, when I was born, did they put me in a nursery and on my crib were like Halloween Snoopy decals? And she was like, yeah, how did you know that? There are no pictures of me in there, but my mom remembers it too. And no one ever talked about it. So like, how should I know this? This is the weirdest story I have, probably. Like, I have other spooky stories, but this one, I have no explanation for this.
Okay. That's actually pretty freaking awesome. Your mother confirmed that there were those stickers in, I mean, you weren't even, I thought this was like your at-home crib, you know, and it was your first, you weren't even out of the hospital yet.
Came into the world and was like, yeah, I did it. I wanted to be born on Halloween. I finally did it.
Okay, that's awesome, actually. That's pretty dang cool. Yeah, I like that one. You know, you've probably heard this episode. Most people listen to my show are more familiar with my episodes and the numbers and this and that than I am. But do you remember Brian? He was in the episode Fear the Reaper. I titled it wrong. I didn't want to title it like the song, so I titled it Fear the Reaper. Mm-hmm. He had memories of when he was super, super young. I don't know about that young. That may take the cake as far as earliest memories. I think you just won the ITF award for that. That's awesome. But Brian remembers seeing Shadow. It's totally different. It's a bad experience, but a horrible, terrifying shadow person when he was very, very young that would just come in and stand in his room, and he'd scream and scream for his mom to come in. Yeah. So
I vaguely remember that one. I know I've heard it, but yeah.
Yeah. So that it does happen.
One of the Patreon episodes where one of your guests said something about a balcony story where he flew up really fast and then like came down. And was that just on one of your latest episodes, or am I embarrassing myself and mixing up?
No. Yeah, you're right. That was a recent Patreon episode. Yes, absolutely.
That is kind of why I wrote this memory down because I was like, you know, I have a really weird early memory too. So I figured I should just put it out there and see what people have to think or say about it, or if they have something similar. But it was like when I was born, I was fully cognizant. But then I feel like my next earliest memory is when I'm maybe like 3, because I was looking at, it was also Halloween related. I was looking at my pumpkin cake. That wasn't paranormal or weird or anything.
But also interesting because, again, it's another memory or very early memory tied to Halloween time, right? So, which is your birthday. And now, I mean, you're pretty much steeped in that every single day now. Like, that's your life, which is cool.
It is. Halloween is my favorite.
Yeah, I don't know what to make of those either. And if people do have other stories like that, I would love to hear them because there is definitely a tie-in with people that just tend to be, I mean, I hesitate to use the word sensitive, maybe magnet is a better word in a way, you know, not that you guys are having full-on poltergeist experience in your homes every day or anything like that. But I do feel like those of you that have these very early memories, you have some kind, and Brian even, I remember he had some kind of an interesting, like he had this inner power thing that helped save him and a friend from, or no, they were actually beating up a kid or something. They were on the street and yeah, I don't know. It's like he called down this higher power and it helped him. I mean, he's like, I don't know what to call it. Do you call it God? I don't know. But it's kind of the same thing where you're kind of going, well, there's something to you guys that is attracted to you, or you just attract things, or both, you know?
I'm just not sure, but yeah, it's really interesting to think about. I like to think that like anybody could tap into it, but I don't know why I just inherently have a lot of weird things that have happened to me. I'll just talk about it like regular conversation, and then I'll look at the expression on somebody's face that I'm talking to, and they're just like, okay, interesting.
Yeah,
but
we tend to
I'm
do
used
that
to it now.
Yeah, exactly. We tend to do that, and we're like, oh, I'm sorry, I just say these things because it's part of my life. Sorry, I forget. Other people don't talk about these things day in and day out. Oopsie, it's not on their brains every single day. Sorry. Okay, well, speaking of that, let's go to the next. We're gonna move to a UFO story now.
This one, it's not that interesting. It's just I did see something that you would consider a UFO because I have no idea what it was. And it was moving in such a way that I have never seen like any kind of plane do this before. It was just this bright pink light that it was moving along in a straight line very slowly. And I thought it was a plane at first. And then it's almost like everybody says this, but I get this impression too, where like it knew that I was watching it. So it disappeared, it blinked out. And so I was like, well, that was weird. Planes don't do that. But then suddenly, a little further along, I think it was more west, it showed up in the sky again. And it was the bright pink light just moving straight along. And then it started moving like a fly buzzing. Like it started spiraling and like going crazy all over the sky. And then it just shot up into the atmosphere and I didn't see it ever again. But that was that. It was in the direction of this Air Force base though, so like I have no idea if that has something to do with it. It totally could. It was just a weird thing to see. It was a bright pink light. So
well, and we've heard that before, right? And I've even had that with my little, it wasn't a, well, I guess you could call it a UFO. It was flying, but it was in the woods, so then it becomes an orb. But that once you notice it, it goes, oh, you notice me. I need to change direction. And yeah, we've heard that a lot. So I don't know quite what to make of that. But so yes, that definitely technically was a UFO. Can't really readily identify that puppy.
Yeah. It was pretty weird, but it wasn't scary or anything. It was just like, wow, I finally got to see a UFO thing, whatever that was. I don't know. But
and then you're like, wait a minute, I had 4 hours missing time, marks on my body.
Oh my.
I was seeing little grays. Then the plot thickens. You're like, wait, I have a memory coming forth. No, I'm just kidding. All right, so where are we going next, Brent?
In keeping with the fairy theme that we had early on, I have this very, very vivid memory of being in my childhood home. My bedroom was on the second floor, and it was dusk. The sun was going down. I was looking out into the front yard. I wasn't tired, so I didn't want to lay in bed yet, but I was just looking out into our front yard. We had this tree. It was like some kind of pine tree, just one tree in the front yard. And all of these little bunnies started coming out from under it. So I figured there's like a little rabbit hole or something under there. And I was just fascinated. I was watching all these bunnies play and hop as the sun was going down. They were all backlit by the sun. It was all orange and they were shadows. And then I saw this bunny hop out with something on its back. And from the shadow, like it had these two long, like appendagey things. I was a kid, so I thought it was like a baby bunny and those were its ears. And I thought it was just like getting a piggyback ride. You know how possums cling to their moms? I just thought like baby bunny was clinging to its mom and its long ears were sticking out from the back. It didn't make sense though, because it wasn't shaped like a bunny really. But all I could see were those two long things, which I associated as being ears. And that's really it. I just saw it. I saw the shadow. I know what it, like, I remember that silhouette almost perfectly. So again, like, as I got older, I started just thinking more and more about this. Well, let me go back just a little bit. The next day, I told my mom about it, and she kind of laughed. And she was like, bunnies don't carry their babies like that. I don't know what you saw. So like that, I realized like it couldn't have been another bunny. Several years ago, I started really thinking about it. The silhouette to me resembled like a small figure. And I feel like those could have been wings instead of ears. So a little figure with long wings riding the back of a rabbit. And I only saw the silhouette, but that was the shape. So I don't know what to make of that either.
Well, and it is kind of interesting that they kind of came out of this cubby hole. You know, you associate Fae with boulders and with trees, and that's kind of like that's their home. That's where they come from and they go back to. That's interesting.
Yeah, trees are in a lot of stories like portals to like doorways to their realm and stuff. So whether or not that's this physical world, and I don't know, but who knows? It's interesting that it did come out of the ground with the rabbits.
Yeah, I love that story, and I'm sure that you've done that rendition has probably been done for quite a long time, right? Posted
I've done
on your Instagram.
Drawings. After I had that realization, I started sketching out that silhouette, just imagining what creature was riding this rabbit. So I do have a couple like bunny rider drawings that I've done, kind of obsessed with it. I'm working on one now, actually.
Yeah, it's definitely a recurring theme.
I do love rabbits. I draw them a lot.
When you have rabbits, right? So
I do. And actually, I have another story. Yeah, on my list, right after the story I just told, I have to make lists. Otherwise, like, I'm so scatterbrained, like, I forget everything that I'm going to talk about. So the next thing on my list has to do with one of my rabbits, if you want to hear that story.
Absolutely.
It's bizarre. So I don't know how to explain this either. This is my life. It's just pretty normal, maybe weird to some people, just I don't know. My house is kind of creepy and old and spooky. I live and work from home as an artist. I'm strange to some people. But I happen to have these stories to go along with it. See, I'm already off track. I'm already like overthinking this story.
No, you are fine.
But I was up in my bunnies have a whole room to themselves. They're free range. They just have like a little baby gate that I put up sometimes, but otherwise they have their own room and they have a litter box and it's all nice. They can hop around and play. So I went in there and laid down on the ground and started petting my one rabbit. His name is Hyacinth. And he was right next to my leg and he hopped over. I was laying down and he hopped over behind my leg so I couldn't see him anymore, but I could feel him. And so I reached down to pet him and there was absolutely nothing there, but he had just hopped over me and I felt him sit down next to me. But when I reached to pet him, he was gone. And at the time we had carpet, so like I could always hear them running because of their claws on the carpet. And I was like, I did not hear him move anywhere. And kind of freaked me out. So like, where did my bunny go? He just disappeared. And the thing was, like, there was one couch in there and then there was just their toys. So like everything was visible. I saw my other bunny, truly my other rabbit, disappeared. He was gone. And it was like he just hopped into a portal or something. And I actually called my husband like a crazy person crying, saying Hyacinth disappeared. And I just, that's what happened. Like I looked all over around the couch multiple times, but it was like for nothing because I could see every place on the ground anyway, that he wasn't in there. I don't know. I just kind of like felt defeated, went downstairs and like cried a little bit and went back upstairs and he was sitting in the center of the room.
What?
So.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matters more than ever. Place your money line, prop, or parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
As humans, we're naturally driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. When I was looking to hire someone, it was so slow and overwhelming. I wish I had used Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform, with over 350 million global monthly visitors according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/podcast. That's Indeed.com/podcast. Terms and conditions apply.
Dude, I have no idea
how
this happened before, where like you may have heard this story on, I like wrote it in to Monsters Among Us, where, oh, this is the stupidest story ever, but it's so weird. So I was dipping a chicken nugget into some barbecue sauce and the barbecue sauce flung off the nugget instead of falling on the floor or in my hair or flinging up to the ceiling. It literally wasn't anywhere and it freaked me out. I went and looked in a mirror to make sure it wasn't on me. And then when I came back and stood in the same place, the barbecue sauce fell, like shot out of a portal onto my wrist. And it's like the same thing happened with my rabbit. He was like briefly taken and returned.
Oh, wow. Okay. No, the chicken nugget story is very cool. A thick, viscous substance that's, pardon me, that's red, by the way. So it's not, like, you know, okay, anyway, not that that matters. So I'm just saying, like, you would have seen it if it would have fallen. But where did this rob come from after you left the room? What?
I looked and, like, looked all over myself and in my hair. I had shorter hair at the time, and it was, like, tied up. It was not in my hair. It wasn't on my chin. It was insane. I have no idea what happened or...
So you...
This is what I mean. Like, these weird things just happen to me, and they're all really mundane, but they happened, and I have no explanation, but I've tried to explain them, and I just, like, try to think about different possibilities for reasons why these things could have happened, but, like, ultimately, these stories I'm telling you, I just can't explain, so it's just weird.
I don't think it's mundane at all, Brett, to be honest with you. I mean, this is so cool. You have, like, time traveling or portal traveling substances and rabbits. Okay, let's talk about hyacinth for a second, because that's obviously more significant than the drop of barbecue sauce, even though that is very cool. I don't even know where to begin to unpack that, because that's a really... I mean, I would have been beside myself, too, to be honest with you. Like, if one of my birds disappeared or something and you could not find them, and there's just no rational explanation as to where he could have gone, especially when you say it's an open room except for a couch. I don't even know where to begin to explain that one.
I was completely lost, and it was so weird to me. It did make me cry because I was so overwhelmed with just, this can't be real. This is not something that happens. Where is he? He's my pet. Like, he was just by my leg. I was just reaching down to pet him, and he was instantly gone. And I didn't see him disappear because he was behind me, but I'm still confounded. I just want to know what happened to him that one time. He was gone for maybe like 15 minutes.
Oh, gosh. Yeah, I would have been freaking out. Now, you had called your husband and told him he was gone. When you called him back and said he's back, he was back in the room, in the middle of the room. What did he say?
He was just like, I'm glad he's back.
Right.
He didn't know what was going on, but I always tell him my weird stories. He knows that I'm weird, and he's fine with it, so...
Well, yeah, the other half has to accept, you know, how we are. So I think by now they probably already have. If they haven't, then they have another thing coming if they think we're changing. This is probably a really, really dumb question, but I have to ask it. Did Hyacinth seem different in any way, shape, or form after his wherever he went trip?
Not at all. He was just sitting there as calm as ever, and... it was like nothing had happened. You can tell when a bunny's like freaked out for some reason, but he just looked very peaceful, just sitting there right in the center of the room. Literally like nothing had happened. Maybe to him, I had disappeared. Mm. Maybe there was like some weird time thing and he had just been sitting there the whole time and I got up and left. And yeah, I just don't know. He looked normal.
That's an interesting thought. So would that have been the exact spot where maybe you were sitting? I don't know if you would know that, but...
It was very close. I feel like it was because I was laying pretty much in the center of the room. He was down by close to my ankles. And yeah, this happened maybe like 2 years ago. So my memory isn't perfect as to where I was actually laying. It seems close. I was mostly in the center of the room. Yeah. It's another thing I never really thought about. Maybe I disappeared to him. This is great. I'm like getting out all these stories, realizing things that I've never thought about before. So.
Yeah, that is an interesting thought. He was the one going, "Hey, Mom, you don't usually just leave me in this room just chilling and not say goodbye or give me a hug and leave."
Yeah.
Because that's something that came up recently about my shadow person experience. I've always said it's just a glimpse into another dimension.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't even know if they knew that I was there, but just like you said, maybe maybe they did know I was there, and I look like a shadow person to them or something. You know, we don't know. We don't know these things. So I wonder what Hyacinth, if he could talk, what he would say.
I would love to know.
Do you mind if we talk real quick? Because I'm assuming we're probably going to at least talk about things that happened in your house like one more time. But do you mind telling folks where you're, because your house is gorgeous, by the way. The paint on your house is amazing. Oh, I mean, you everyone can see it on Instagram, so I know I'm not divulging any secrets. But what state are you in?
I live in Indiana. I'm not originally from here, but I'm actually from Central Illinois. Lived in Chicago for 10 years. That's where I met Frank, my husband. Then he's from Indiana. So this house that we live in is actually like an old family house that's been part of his dad's family for a pretty long time. And we were just fortunate enough to, it became available to us, and we were so tired of living in Chicago. It's just, I'm not a city person. I am a hermit. So we decided it was probably the best move we could make at the time. And I'm super glad we did. I love living in the country.
Yeah, I just, when possible, it's good to let everybody know where people are, because they get that picture painted a little bit better. Are you guys, do you have neighbors like really close to you? I mean, it's cool because you get to take all your photos like out in the woods, and I don't ever see any, you know, houses, other houses in the background. So.
Right. Our closest neighbors are actually family. So Frank's brother lives probably a mile away. There's like two cornfields between us. They are our closest neighbor. Yeah, I like it that way. I get to work from home. I work best in solitude. And I just have my pets, my garden, and I'm just really very grateful that I get to do this right now. So I don't take it for granted. We've done a lot of work to this house though. Like, that's another huge thing. It was kind of a mess when we moved in. So it's been kind of years of just piecing things together, cleaning it up. We only just painted the outside 2 summers ago, I think it was now, maybe 3. I have a horrible memory, but that was a horrible job that I hope I never have to do again, but I'm really glad we did it, because now I have an even weirder house.
It looks stunning. I love, love, love the paint job on your house. And guys, again, we're going to keep sending you over to her Instagram. Her Instagram account is amazing. It's never boring. And you can see photos of Brett and her artwork, and of course her house that I am gushing about. Did you guys do any actual remodeling construction wise stuff?
No, it's all the original bones. It's actually a really nice solid house. We didn't have to do any work like that. We did have to do like replastering like cracks in the walls and stuff. Otherwise it was in pretty good shape on the inside. Just needed major cleaning.
Do you know how old it is? How long it's been in Frank's family?
I don't know how long it's been in his family, but I believe the house was built in, it's debated. Like, I don't know for sure, but Frank's grandma thinks it was built in like 1840.
Whoa.
So it's pretty old. It's older than I thought. I thought it was maybe like 1880, but she said, no, I know that it's way older than that. It's at least 1840. So like, I would love to find documents or something to like confirm exactly. And then I could maybe learn like who else lived here first.
But right.
I feel like Frank's family started moving into this house probably early 1900s.
Gosh, 1840. That is very cool.
Yeah.
Is there a this is just a totally random question, but is there a basement space in the house?
Oh my gosh. There is a cellar. Is a cellar where you access from outside, or does it even matter?
I don't know.
Like a creepy cellar, but you access from the kitchen inside.
Oh.
And it's just like where they store their canning, and you know, there's shelves down there that are pretty cool that are probably original to the house that were just, it was where people stored their canned food.
Yeah. Can you imagine?
But it's
back then, and they would have been, carrying candles around. I mean, it's so cool to think about the people that first built that house and what their day-to-day looked like.
I would love to know more. I know that the room I'm sitting in now would have been the parlor. So that's an interesting thought. There's actually a door that separates it from the rest of the house, and it has its own separate front door. It looks weird on the front of the house because there's two front doors. So I should like send a picture just so you know what I'm talking about. But I've never seen this before. But people have said that that's because this room would be closed off as the viewing parlor and people would access through this other door. And that is where I'm sitting talking to you right now. And this also happens to be the room where I've never heard a ghost speak before until this one time. I've only ever heard a voice once. And it was just like this friendly kind of like radio voice. And it just said, hello, just like that, in this room, which is where the dead bodies were hanging out.
So that I did not know about your house. And I let you finish because I figured you were going to that hello part.
Yeah,
but you said viewing room. I'm like, hold on a second. I was not expecting that at all.
Yeah, a lot of these houses out here have that. My brother and sister-in-law's house, their front room is also the parlor, the viewing room. I think like they just didn't have a funeral parlor.
Right.
They just didn't a thing like back then, and
just bring them back home.
Did all of home, yeah. So they had to have specifically for that, and yeah.
Well, okay, yeah, that is so interesting. I'm nothing is that old here in Las Vegas, and this is pretty much all I know. So that is, there's certain little things about just structures in other parts of the country that I just am not privy to, and that is definitely one of them. How interesting is that? That is a new. And a new thing I learned, I learned something new every time. And a viewing room, that does make sense, though. You're right. They wouldn't have had funeral parlors or a separate place to go. So they just bring them back home and take it from there.
I'm on that ice table. Have you seen those before? They're pretty interesting. I've seen them a couple times at like antique shops where it's like the at-home wake table. And there's room underneath it to like put ice. It's really
not familiar with that at all.
I don't know if that one or if it was just people shared. I don't know. But they're interesting.
So this radio voice, how loud was that? Did it make you jump or it was barely audible?
It was loud enough to sound like a regular person's voice level. Didn't scare me at all though. In fact, I just turned around and was like, hi, just sounded like a crackly old radio. And it didn't seem like they were trying to be malicious or anything. I was actually putting a record on, and there's been a lot of people in Frank's family that are musicians. So I always think like, maybe it had something to do with me about to play some music, and they just happened to be here and they were interested and wanted to say hi because they like music too. I don't know. But it was definitely like a young man voice. I don't know who it could be. I really don't know. I don't have answers to any of these stories. But I mean, nobody could possibly. But I don't know. I think that's why I find them so fascinating. I'm just like, yeah, I don't know. It's just, that's what happened.
Now, I have to ask this because I get asked this also just because of what we do and, you know, day in, day out, the thoughts that are in our head and the, you know, do you have Ouija boards? Do you do things like that? Or is there any tarot cards or, you know, anything that people would go, well, you're, you know, that may be a portal, a doorway for something to be able to interact with you?
I do have all of those things, but like I don't use the Ouija boards. I just find them beautiful. So like I have them as like art pieces, really. I've designed one and oh man, that just, the one that I designed, I have a very short story about that. Something weird happened.
Yes, please.
Speaking of Ouija boards. So my sister has a wood laser cutter. And so I designed these boards and she was cutting them out on her laser cutter into wood. And she said while she was working on those boards, she just kept having doors open in her house. And like she lives in an older house too in Illinois. And they're like some old heavy doors that you can't just push open. They like latch solidly. And she was saying like she's never going to make my Ouija boards again because they just kept making the doors open in her house, like all upstairs. I'm just like, that's really scary. I'm sorry.
Wow.
I did not put any ill intentions into these boards. If anything, they're just, it's interesting that doors were opening.
Right.
Now I'm just realizing this because that's kind of what they are. So I don't know if that's like any significance to that, but
that's cool.
Perhaps.
Yes, that it were, they were opening doors. And were they at least kind enough to shut them again, or they were just opening them and leaving them open?
Just opening them. Mm. And she would walk upstairs, see all the doors open.
Oh.
And I'll probably never make any more Ouija boards ever again because she was my manufacturer and she's not going to do it.
She's like, I'm out. Yeah, you're right. If that's not a nod to exactly what people say that they do, they open doors. Well, there you go. That is confirmation, everybody. Oh.
Honestly, that's my kind of weird, chaotic humor. It makes sense.
Well, where do you want to go next, Brent?
One of the most classic stories from my spooky catalog is like a sleep paralysis thing that I experienced that just checks everything off for being preteen poltergeist sleep paralysis. It's honestly, everybody's probably heard this kind of story before, but when I was about 11 or 12, I was probably almost 12, I'm not positive. One night I woke up because I couldn't move and I was like squiggling. I was like squirming so I could move around, but I felt like a body pressing down on top of me. And I could feel like almost like physical hands on either side of my face on the pillow. I was just squirming and like grunting. And I don't think I could speak, but I know I could kick my legs. And I was just terrified because I had no idea what was happening. And suddenly it got off of my body. The pressure was gone. And I was laying there stunned. And then the blanket was completely ripped off of my body. Like I could see a point of the blanket where it looked like a hand was gripping it. And it just yanked it right off of me and threw it on the floor. That happened. And I just ran to my mom's room. But I should also note that at that time, that is exactly when my parents were going through a divorce. I was 11 or 12. It just sounds like the very typical poltergeist sleep paralysis story.
And you actually saw where this, essentially it's an invisible hand is gripping your blanket. You could see the indentations.
Yeah, like how a hand would grip it and it just, you could see, I'm doing the hand motion right now.
I was just doing that too. Don't worry.
But yeah, it grabbed it and you could see where it was like pulling it up. So it was like a point and it just landed in a heap right on the floor next to my bed.
Oh, that's even more significant. It actually pulled it up. I'm doing the hand motion again. Doing it too. So it pulled it up into a point and then off it goes.
Yeah. Human or whatever, like a figure that I never saw, an invisible figure standing next to my bed, which would have been approximately like human size,
mm-hmm.
grabbed it, lifted from me, and then landed on the floor.
Oh,
I just like jump out of my bed right next to that blanket and just leave the room and run to my mom's room. So I don't know.
Yeah, those are on the no list for me across the board. You know, when you're home, you're supposed to be safe in bed.
Never.
Yeah, that's not cool.
Yeah. I told my mom, and luckily she actually believed me. And years later, probably when I was in college, she finally told me and my sisters that weird stuff had been happening to her in the house too.
Oh.
So, and this all during the same time where she was in the process of getting a divorce. So I feel like there was just some really weird negative stuff being attracted to the house at the time. And I think that's all it was, just manifesting in very creepy ways.
Did she have similar experiences like that?
Nothing like lifting off of her, like the blanket, but she said she would wake up in the middle of the night thinking there was an earthquake because her bed was just shaking violently. And that was all she said to me.
Mm. Nope. They need to leave the homes alone, especially like the nighttime. See, they love to mess with folks at night.
Worst.
Yeah. They have no respect for boundaries.
Yeah.
Well,
one of my more scary experiences that actually like kind of scarred me for a very long time. And once I learned about sleep paralysis and this being a thing that happens to people, I kind of like chilled out about it. I was like, okay, so this is something, who knows what it was, but this has happened to other people. And it kind of like made it a little bit less scary for me. I feel like I would be terrified again if I were to wake up tonight early this morning, next morning, and that would happen. I just don't want that to happen again. But yeah.
Sleep paralysis is actually, the stories are they range so much, you know. Sometimes people, they feel the pressure like you did of an actual physical body on top of you or pushing on a part of your body, which is terrifying. And then they can actually move things and affect the environment around them. And then other people just can't move, you know, but they feel a presence, not physically, but they just know that something is in the room, but they can't move. So there's just such a range of these sleep paralysis experiences.
Yeah. I always thought it was kind of interesting that I was actually able to kick around, and I've heard other people say that they were able to move too. So I'm not a sleep expert by any means, obviously, but like I've always heard that during sleep paralysis, you're supposed to be in a paralysis, like you can't move at all. Like that's the whole thing about it. But I was definitely squirming. So I don't know.
Now, were you squirming the whole time, or did you at first maybe not able, or maybe you weren't even thinking that you need to squirm, but was it tied to you were able to kick your legs and then, you know, the blanket lifted and the weight lifted off? Was there a tie-in with the timing at all?
It was more like I woke up because I felt the pressure and instantly started moving my head and my shoulders and legs. And just like squirming. And so when I say kicking, I was just, my legs were not going up and down violently. They were just, I don't know, the best word is squirming, just squiggling about. Then I stopped because the pressure was relieved. And I was just like, what was that? What is happening? And then the blanket was torn off of me. So.
Yeah, because you hear people say that when they realize they're having this horrible sleep paralysis incident, but they're actually paralyzed, that if they can concentrate on even just moving a pinky, that it will break the entire paralysis.
I've heard that. Yeah, that's not how mine was. Mine was just, it really just felt like there was a human body laying on top of me, like very heavy. And I was moving how I would move if like there was a person pinning me down.
But that's how good you are at this stuff and how ingrained you are in all of these subjects, because you already were like, well, there was a lot of negativity in the home. Like, you already pegged that, you know, because sometimes those are questions that I'll be like, well, what was going on at that time? You know, but it was like kind of a double whammy because of your age and then the fact that this divorce was going down.
Saying like it checks every box because it's all of those things that are so classic to any story like that. But I don't know. Interesting, though, that my mom was also experiencing stuff. Yeah. And just on top of that, my mom was working with a woman. She doesn't work with her anymore, but they're still like best friends. And this lady was telling her about how she thinks her house is haunted. And it turns out the house she lived in was directly across the street from that childhood home.
Oh, that's weird.
So there's all, a very weird coincidence.
See, and this is something else that comes up so often, but of course, so many things happened on so much different parts of this country that, you know, you're always just like, is it underground stuff, or is it really just, you know, coming from this other dimension or wherever they're from? You know, like what started that stuff?
Positive. I mean, I'm not sure what was there before they built those houses. They were all new houses. I'm assuming it was just either farmland and before that woodlands. But that also the same house where I saw that weird little silhouette that I think was the fairy. So I don't know. I don't know what's in that land.
You can hear. Well, I always think of him as Coach Craig T. Nelson, but, you know, I can always hear and see him shaking his boss and going, you moved the headstones, but you left the bodies, didn't you? You know, good old poltergeist, because you're always like, what is under there? Not that that always is the case, but yeah, that gets to be some dark stuff when... I would definitely agree with you that would be one of your scarier experiences, is having the feeling that someone or something is just physically, go away. That's buzz off, dude.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-mm. Yeah. I don't care what age either. That would be horrifying, but you were just a kid, so that's even worse.
Yeah, like I had no concept of.
Right.
Like, I was more into like, Sasquatch and stuff when I was that age. So I was like, really? And still, I love cryptids and all the folklore and stuff like that. But at that age, I wasn't really into ghosts or especially poltergeists. I was just like not interested, because I preferred like drawing monsters and creatures. So of course I would be more into like Sasquatch, Jersey Devil, Mothman, stuff like that. Ghosts were not on my mind. I don't know.
When did you start drawing?
I've always been drawing. Like, truly, as far back as I can remember, I'm just somebody who draws. That's what I do. I can't even say. I just always remember that's what I wanted to do. And luckily, my parents were both pretty encouraging for that. They always told me, like, you can be whatever you want to be. And I took them very seriously. And now I do work from home professionally as an artist. So,
and a damn good one. All right.
Well, thank you.
I'm kind of interested to hear, if you're okay to tell this one, the funny story about Zoe.
Okay. This one, I won't even preface it by telling you anything. Okay. I'm just going to tell the story. So, after my parents got divorced, we moved out of that house and we moved in with my grandma for about a year. And I was sleeping on the floor in one of the guest bedrooms. And I woke up because I heard something shuffling. I could see only shadows, and I saw a little figure just like walking around. I thought it was this little slim, I don't know, 14 inch tall black silhouette of a little thing just bobbing up and down. I thought it was a little body walking. And the first thought that I had was like, it's my Barbie. My Barbie has come to life and she's walking around like Toy Story in the middle of the night. And then suddenly this figure knocked over a little trash can. And I was like kind of freaking out, but I was so excited because I was like, it's true. Barbies walk around. And so I can't believe I did this, but I reached out and I grabbed it. And it just happened to me. It was my grandma's cat's tail. And she was just like walking around knocking trash cans over in the middle of the night.
Can you imagine if you would have reached out and it was a Barbie, though? Like, I don't.
But why this story is so weird to me, because I was like, I was so willing to grab a walking Barbie. Why I wouldn't do that now? Like, what if it was evil or like, I don't know, started attacking me?
Yeah, the implications of a walking Barbie are very, very heavy. So, yeah, if you reached out and it actually was a Barbie, I think immediately you would have gone, oh, crap, I got bigger problems here.
Like, scream and
yeah,
pop its head off or something.
Yeah, you'd have been, like, beating it against the wall, you know, something. It would have very quickly turned into, oh, no, this is not cool. No.
Yeah.
But I'm glad it was Zoe. I'm very glad it was Zoe, because no, you hear stories of like little trolls and things that are quite tiny walking around, you know, in Fae world too. And no, that would freak me out. Good on Zoe. I like that one. Well, it looks like we've got a couple more here, and I don't know if you want to tell them both or just cherry pick. You know, it's totally up to you what you want to tell. But deja vu, and then the beast. Stuff sounds kind of interesting too.
Well, the deja vu stuff isn't really anything. I just like constantly have deja vu all the time. It's sometimes way more frequent than other times. So I don't know. That's just my weird brain. But
does that coincide with, you know, certain times of the year, like maybe our favorite time of year, fall and things like that?
Probably keep better track of it. But sometimes when it's happening, I'm just so out of it. And I'm just, it's a weird feeling. And I almost need like a journal so I can document it. I used to do that with my dreams. And I definitely learned that I dream way more vividly right before and during the full moon. And that's just because I was dating my journal entries. So I almost wonder if it could be something like that.
Right.
Yeah. I'm not really sure. Sometimes weird things happen because of the deja vu. Like something happened where and my husband Frank knows because he was there when I was experiencing this. You know the movie Alien, Harry Dean Stanton. I remember him passing away like 3 days before he passed away. I remember reading the article. I remember being sad because Alien's one of my favorite movies and he's in a lot of David Lynch stuff. And I was just like, oh man, that's a bummer. And I told Frank about it and I sent him, like, I Googled a picture of him and I was just like, oh, Harry Dean Stanton, I loved him. And I guess he didn't actually die. But then 3 days later, I saw the article, which was dated for that day, and he actually had passed away. So it was weird. I was like 3 days ahead, and it felt like deja vu. So I don't even know if I Googled that photo and like showed it to Frank. It's weird.
Oh, that's cool. See, that's what I mean about just right off the bat, that very first story. Do you have kind of basically other abilities that people do not? That's a cool story.
It's a weird one. I don't know what to make of it. And I have a lot of friends who are like way more into occult stuff than I am, like psychically. They work as psychics, and they've told me that I come off as like having abilities. I have no idea how to take that. I don't know how to hone in on that. I don't want to be like a working psychic. That's not at all what my passion is. I would much rather just make my art, and possibly I've had people say that I'm like channeling stuff through my art too. So like whatever, maybe, I'm not sure, but I'm just doing what I like to do and trying to do it really well and happy that I can do this in this life. So whatever it's worth, if I could be a psychic, I don't know if I actually want to be. I just like where I am right now. So if any of that makes any sense.
Oh, 100%. I just, they say that pretty much anybody can be a remote viewer, but it's just some would be better at it. I would hazard to say you'd probably make a pretty good remote viewer. I'm just going to say that right now.
Perhaps. Maybe I'll try harder one day. But yeah, at the moment, I just want to draw. That's all.
See, and maybe that's a good segue, what you said about your art, you know, maybe channeling something through your art, and there's some kind of an energy there. So let's talk about this beast situation.
Oh my gosh, that is truly a really good segue, because yeah, actually this creature that I started calling the Indiana Beast is something that I had this dream about the first time I ever stayed in Indiana. And it's this bipedal deer man. So it's like got a slender man body with the head of a deer. And the thing about it in my dream, though, it was like jet black fur. And I started drawing that. I started drawing him a lot. He's become kind of like almost like a guide of mine, like one of my little, I don't know what you want to call it, some kind of like guide of some sort that, I don't know, I don't have a word for it. But basically, people saw my drawings of him and were contacting me and saying, I've seen this. And I was like, really? Like, can you explain more? I don't know if I believe you. But one of my friends, one of my art friends who over the years I've become more close with, she told me a story. She used to live in Indiana. She lives in the UK now. But when she lived in this state, she said it was winter, and she was watching TV on her couch, and she looked out the window and saw a deer looking in the window at her. And she thought it was kind of creepy, but she was like, that's a deer, it's fine. And then suddenly, as the deer turned around and walked away, she didn't see it because it was dark out, but it was gone from the window. Her TV went out and all her power went out. Basically, she said, in the morning when she went out to look, she saw human footprints where the deer was, and the power lines were taken down, like it was really tall and its antlers like tangled in with it or something. That was her story. So very interesting. But she didn't get like spooky vibes from it. I never have either. It's more like a forest guardian kind of energy in my experience. Yeah. There's been a couple other stories too. I can't remember them off the top of my head, but I remember that one because she's like one of my friends. But there's also lots of folkloric tales from like the UK of deer-headed men, like Cernunnos, Hearn, different entities like that. There's several Native American ones too, which like I didn't even know about any of these when I started drawing him, but it's almost like this entity wanted me to draw it. So like now it's alive again. I don't know.
That's so cool. Cause I read a book, completely a fictional book based around basically this idea of a deer man, and these things could essentially shapeshift, and which is, that's exactly what jogged the memory, is your friend seeing a deer, but then going out the next day and there's human footprints, which obviously doesn't match up. And in this story, these entities could actually, she would see them out her second story window, you know, which obviously a deer cannot do. They don't fly as far as we know. So that's really interesting. I mean, so coming from your perspective, because you love the fae so much, do you tend to lean towards this deer man of yours being more of a fae type of an entity?
That's kind of what I have decided for now. I do think it is like linked to that area of folklore and stories. I think it, because a lot of the stuff, a lot of the fairy stories that I'm really drawn to are kind of like from where my ancestral lands would be, UK, Ireland, and that's just what I'm linked to personally. So it makes sense to me that those entities would be drawn to me in a way, I guess. But I don't know. It's something I do think about. I don't know. Maybe it has nothing to do with any of that. So really couldn't say. But I do think it's a something of the earth, something fairy energy. It does have a fairy energy to it. Kind of mischievous, but also just a caretaker of the land. So, yeah.
Do you ever wonder, since you spend so much time drawing and thinking about these beings, that you'll ever, it'll create basically a tulpa-like situation where one of these things could maybe somehow manifest in some way and you would actually see one?
I'm not sure. That's okay. Unpopular opinion. I don't put stock into tulpas only because my justification for this thinking is you would see like thousands of Jesuses strolling around.
That is a very good point. that's an excellent point. Yes.
So I just don't, that's one of those things that I'm just like, eh, I don't know about that. But I do think it's an energy, and I do think that there are probably forces that would be attracted to like my creative energy and like what I'm working on, or any artist for that matter, and manifest in a way that would maybe be similar to what we're drawing or working on or something. Yeah, I guess like that could explain why people have seen Slender Man, but like it could be something that like that's just the name that we've given it, this fictional character, but it might just be some energy that knows that a lot of people are focusing on this, but we didn't create the energy was already there. That's right. I guess that's what I'm trying to say.
Right. Great point on the Jesuses. It made me die laughing inside. I was trying to tamp it down for air, but that was good. I mean, that's blunt, like that is exact. That is 100% true, though. Yeah, there. Are you the real one? Are you the which one are you? Yeah, yeah.
Real Jesus. Stand up.
There's Jesuses everywhere. that just made me laugh. That visual. There's like a couple more on this list. I don't know if you wanted to. I've kept you a while, so I don't know if you want me to let you off the hook, or if you want to tell these, you know, last couple, then you are more than welcome, of course.
Right. This is a really weird one because nobody knew about it until all of these pictures were developed. My nephew was having his birthday party. They have a pool, and this is the house that is like a mile away from me. So there are no houses. Like there's just cornfields everywhere. And his birthday is his birthday is literally tomorrow. Wow. A lot of weird coincidences are happening.
That's awesome.
His birthday is tomorrow. So like right now there's stuff in the fields. It's not tall corn. You could see people coming from any direction if they were to walk through a field, which nobody's going to be doing that. These underwater pool photos were taken. All the little boys were, they had this camera. They're having a great time. I was a chaperone. So was my nephew's mom, of course. And then there were like, there's Frank, my husband, and Frank's brother, my nephew's dad. So there really weren't a lot of people there. There were 7 boys. I don't remember how many there were. There were my 2 nephews, 2 cousins, and then 3 neighbor boys. And the 3 neighbor boys are all like super pale, super blonde. The boys at the pool party were like darker skin, darker hair, just not these pale skinned. Like you could tell them all apart very easily. So when we got these pool photos developed, there happened to be this pale boy with jet black curly hair in the water with them, like swimming, smiling. And that is not a boy who was at that party. He honestly looks like Frank's grandpa when he was a child. Like that's what we've all decided. It was, he just wanted to come spend time with his great grandkids at his birthday party. And there are photos. I sent you one of them of this boy in the pool that wasn't there at the party. And it looks real. Like the thing about that photo, I was ridiculed so hard on another, like a paranormal group on Facebook. And I just felt like really hurt because nobody wanted to hear me out on this story and really listen. And they just thought I was, I don't know, like looking for attention or something. But it's like, as far as I'm concerned, that's a real ghost photo because that is not a child that was there at that party. How did he get in these photos? And everybody thought it was just like, just a kid that us drunk parents didn't notice show up. And I'm just like, you know, I should show you like Google Earth because there is no random child just showing up to a birthday party he wasn't invited to around here. So I don't know.
It'd be an awful long walk, right?
Right.
So if you look at pictures of Frank's grandpa, I mean, it actually does look like him as a younger child.
It does. Yeah, it does.
That's cool.
Yeah. So like all of us over here in the family, we're all happy with what we think about this photo. And there's no other way to explain it. Like even there's a photo of all of the boys at the party, like sitting outside the pool on the edge. And this boy is not among this group shot. So he's just underwater, cheesy smiling, like having a great time in a couple pictures. And yeah, like nobody knows the rules on ghosts. Maybe he was just like in some form where he looks extremely human and is doing like living human things. But while these pictures were taken, nobody saw him. He's just part of the group in his own way. I don't know.
In a couple of photos too. That's pretty darn cool. Not just in one, but in a couple of them.
Yep. It's weird, but I have one of those photos. It's one of my favorite creepy things that I own.
Well, was there any other stories before I let you off the hook here that you wanted to share? I appreciate everything that you've shared so far today. Love these stories so much, Brett.
Thank you. Sometimes it's just fun to talk about them. I'm glad you're willing to like sit down and listen to me ramble on about all the weird things that have happened to me.
Are you kidding me? So, this is like way long overdue. And when you finally were like, okay, I'll come on and chat with you, I was like, yes. I did one of those, you know, like that little kid gif that people put online. He's like, yes, that was me. I'm a huge fan of yours.
Yeah, I've been like working up to this for a really long time. I've loved your show for years, and like every time I listen, I'm just like, oh my gosh, I should call in. No, I should tell Shannon about this. And I would just, no, I can't do this right now. But I'm trying to like be more open about this stuff. So yeah.
Well, I'm extremely flattered. I'm definitely, I told you I'm fangirling big time right now. So the fact that, I have Brett Manning on and I'm talking to her on this lovely morning is very nice for me. And by the way, when Seth told me that he got to, I mean, you guys were, I mean, you were busy like selling stuff, but basically you hung out, you were in the same place for whatever conference that was. Mm-hmm. I was real jealous, by the way. I was real jealous about that.
And I was right to Derek from Monsters Among Us. He was like right next to my booth. So it was like this triad.
Everybody was there. Awesome. Mm. See, that's the problem with me living out on this side of the country, because most of the cool stuff is on the other side of the country where I used to live. When I was in Ohio, I mean, I was actually going to quite a few of those things. And now everything's a plane right away, and it changes everything, the logistics, big time.
Yeah. It'd be cool, though. Maybe someday. I'm doing CryptidCon again this year, and I'm pretty excited. It's been a nice break not doing festivals and conventions and stuff. Like, all of 2020, I just stayed home and worked on my stuff here, like pretty much everybody, really. I'm excited to be able to go do things again. Looking forward to it. I think it's November, if I'm correct.
Oh, yeah. I think is it every November that they hold CryptidCon? I think. But yeah, that'll be good that they get that stuff back.
September, but I feel like they changed it this year. Oh. So I'll double check. Nobody listen to me right now. Go do your own research, because I'm probably wrong.
That's what I have to say, too. I'm like, what year did that? I don't even. Some people, they know month, day, and year. And I'm like, you're insane. You're out of your mind. Half the time, I don't even know what year something happened in. That's how bad I am. So I'm right there with you. But. Well, Brett, I love you. I think that you are an incredible person, an artist. And again, before we hop off here, let people know where to find you.
Oh, the best place to find my art is probably on Instagram. And that is... My dog's about to bark. Hold on.
He wants a cameo.
It's Brett Manning Art. So my name, Art. That's on Instagram. And links to all of my different shops can be found there.
Yes. Or Google Brett Manning, of course. Don't forget about Google, everybody, because everyone's like, how do I find such and such? I'm like, you guys, Google is out there. Come on now. Don't be like this.
Right.
Yeah, silly gooses.
Yeah, it's easy, so just Google my name. And if you're looking for my shop, then just put in shop or Etsy or something, and it'll immediately pop up.
Well, and I have to say also before I let you go, sorry, thank you for the care packages that you've sent me. And like, I have Pennywise is hanging right behind me on my wall right here, the Pennywise that you did. And I love that stuff so much. And the stuff that I bought from you for my daughter, she's got that hanging up. So you're everywhere in our house, and we just love it.
Well, thank you. That is really awesome. That means a lot to me. And I like to send care packages. I was also fangirling. So the feeling's mutual.
Well, thanks so much, Brett. I hope that we talk again soon. I know we'll be in touch on Insta. We always are. But I think you're just a wonderful human being. And thank you so much for taking the time to talk to me.
My pleasure.
Well, I'm so-and-so. I was given this name by my parents. I've been to such and such a college. I've done these things in my profession. I produce a little bar. The Buddhist says, forget it. That's not true. That's some story. That's all gone. That's all past. I want to see the real you are now. Well, nobody knows who that is. Because we don't know ourselves except through listening to our echoes and consulting our memories. But then there's a real you, and that again leads us back to this question. Who are you? That is the real you. See how they play with this exam by the koans to get you to come out of your shell and find out who you really are. us. They will say, no, we don't believe literally in reincarnation. That after your funeral, you know, you will suddenly become somebody different, living somewhere else. They will say, reincarnation means this, that if you sitting here now are really convinced that you're the same person who walked in at the door half an hour ago, you're being reincarnated. If you are liberated, you understand that you're not. The past doesn't exist. The future doesn't exist. There is only the present. That's the only real you that there is. The Zen master Dogen put it in this way. He said, spring does not become the summer. First there is summer, and then there is spring.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matters more than ever. Place your money line, prop, or parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
As As humans, we're naturally driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. When I was looking to hire someone, it was so slow and overwhelming. I wish I had used Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform, with over 350 million global monthly visitors according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/podcast. That's Indeed.com/podcast. Terms and conditions apply.